What I hope to encourage everyone here this morning is with this matter in the scriptures concerning patience. Patience is something that is not something you ever arrive at. It's something that does grow and you do get better at and strengthened in, but you never, like the walk of the Christian, you never arrive. We're always striving and growing in the Lord, but without wasting any time, let's get straight into our passage. Let's open up to your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. If you look with me there in your Bibles, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The epistle of James was written particularly to Jewish Christians to warn them against certain faults that they showed and instruct them as to how to grow in the Christian faith, so that the Christianity would be matured and therefore an honour to him who they profess to follow. The faults referred to were those which might be expected in Christians who had been Jews and were now suffering persecution for their faith. These Jewish Christians that were under this dictatorial rule and hypocritical rule by these Pharisees and religious people that wanted them to do as they say but not as they do, as such, even that's what the Lord, that they just wanted control in the people, and they wanted it to follow in their traditions, in their ways. And so when the gospel came along and these Jews believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were gloriously born again, they were born again, they were new creatures and started to follow the ways of Christ, and sure enough, I'm sure many here can testify, from that time that you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what soon followed thereafter was testings and trials and persecutions. And it was no secret that was kept from the Christians. The Lord Jesus Christ told them openly, that persecution will come. Not maybe, might, it will come. And that's if you're living godly in Christ Jesus. It's not a matter of if, but when, if it has not yet come. Again, contingent on the fact that you're living godly in Christ Jesus. These Christians, no doubt, were striving to walk according to the word and according to the faith in which they now profess in Christ Jesus alone. The persecution that they were under was most likely under the rule of King Herod Agrippa. Herod the Agrippa the First. Herod the Agrippa the First was a very paranoid man. He was a very insecure man, and without thought would just order the execution of someone purely on the basis of paranoia or insecurity. He was that kind of man. And so how much more these Christians that are going about, not necessarily disrespecting his rule, but following after a way that's contrary to what he perhaps wanted to lead the nation or the people in. And so persecution was a very real thing back then. It's a very real thing today. We face it mainly in the verbal sense, very rarely, if ever, in the physical sense, but we have brethren all over the world that at this very moment perhaps can't speak as openly and loudly as I'm speaking, and don't meet as openly and publicly as we meet. And it's a very real reality, but God is sufficient to meet every need. And so the exhortation to these Christians that were facing trials and testings that were bringing issues even amongst themselves, but the Lord exhorts them, or the scriptures here record for us, that the exhortation concerning the trial of their faith is working this thing called patience in their life. And it was, amazing how it says in verse 4, and when it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Absolute contentment, completeness, complete rest, not a care in the world. Patience. Patience has, it's when you look into the very root of the word, it's beautiful when it brings out the pictures. It's literally to be under a circumstance and to stay under while enduring, while keeping forward. So when there's a circumstance or something that comes your way, whatever it may be, generally it's in a negative sense, something that's a trial or a test, something hard, often evil or bad, that comes your way, and it just wants to overwhelm you. Well, the idea and the picture is to stay under that, but keep on going. But keep on going and endure and forbear and be long-suffering. That's what patience is. Patience is the state of endurance, usually under any difficult circumstances, which can mean persevering in the face of delay or provocation without becoming annoyed, anxious, or vengeful. Patience is the level of endurance one can have before negativity. That's what patience is. I like that one. The level of endurance one can have before negativity. Patience is not easily angered or excited. It's controlled. Patience is the capacity for calmly enduring pain, trying situations, long-term difficulties, injuries, evils, without murmuring or discontent. That's what patience is. It's a wonderful thing. And God wants us, not only these Christians that were being exhorted, but no doubt exhorts us, that beloved, let patience have her perfect work with us. With us. Turn with me quickly to Acts chapter 27. I don't want to labor here, but I want to show you a picture of this matter of patience. Paul was taken as a prisoner here on this ship. And in Acts chapter 27, this ship was holding 276 men on this boat. So you can imagine the size of this boat, holding 276 men. Paul wasn't the only prisoner on that boat. And they were sailing, I believe, to Jerusalem. Was it to Jerusalem? I believe it was. Where they were sailing to isn't the significance in this story anyway, but they were sailing. You can imagine the size of the boat, holding 260 men, as we see in Acts chapter 27, verse 37. But look with me here from verse 13. And when the south wind blew, so they set sail from Crete, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, or however you want to pronounce that. And so, in other words, they loosed, thinking, no, the wind was in their favour, even though Paul had prior warned them, look, it's not a good idea to go, it's not good, the weather's not good. But they didn't listen to him, they thought it was good, they went. And it says in verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, they couldn't control it, and running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Running under is the idea there of patience. It's the same root word. And they knew that when this tempestuous wind came their way, like it said there in verse 16 at the end there, that there was much work to come by the boat. And then it goes on to labor on how through this time now it began that they were all pretty much hands on deck, and they were verse 18, and we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Man, it was an absolute rager, if you want to put it that way, that's come and hit them without expectation. Paul perhaps was the only one that expected it, God too, for he had revealed it to Paul, but they had not expected it. And yet look at this. It wasn't just for a few moments or an hour or two. The next day, they lightened the ship. It kept going until the next day. And then it went on for 3 days, verse 19. And then it says, neither the sun nor stars many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Mate, they had lost all hope. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. He couldn't help himself. And not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. But now look at this exhortation. Imagine having been at the very least now at this point 3 days being tossed about by this wind, an absolute rager. of a storm that's come and tossing them about. And then Paul comes along, says in verse 22, "Now I exhort you, be of good cheer." What are you talking about? Be of good cheer. And then he tells them, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." He tells him how the angel of the Lord appeared to him, told him what was going to take place. And so Paul found comfort in the Lord. Is that what God said is going to happen? Although there's this absolute storm raging that they're caught in, they have almost no control, absolutely no control of the ship, no control of the storm. And then here comes along Paul exhorting them to be of good cheer. And even in verse 24, "Fear not, don't be afraid." And in verse 25, he exhorts them again, "Sirs, be of good cheer." Why? "Because I believe God. I believe God." You know, a lot of the times why we lose that patience, we don't wait anymore, even though God has revealed something to us, but we're no longer resting anymore. You're just not forbearing. You're just not staying under that and keeping on anymore. And you're starting to fret and fear and lose that cheer and joy. Is because you've lost that belief in God. It's that heart of unbelief that creeps in, that takes away that perfect patience, that patience that God wants you to have. And then he told them, the boat's going to be lost, but none of us, but no one can leave the boat. And then look at this, after encouraging them in that way, this was, like I said, at least 3 days in verse 27, "And when the 14th night was come," man, imagine 14 nights at the least in an absolute storm at sea in a boat that's falling apart. Be of good cheer. Fear not. Well, do you believe God? Do you believe God's promise and comfort? Do you believe that God will never leave thee or forsake thee? Do you believe that God will use all things together for good? Do you believe the Lord is there with you always? 14 nights. And then it came to the point in verse 28, and it sounded that they found the boat, and they were drawing nigh to a place, and it says they were found at 20 fathoms. 20 fathoms is just over 30 meters. It's about double the length of this room here, from this wall to that wall. And you can imagine a boat holding 260 people, the size of it, coming in within about 60 meters or so of this land. And they had gone a little further and sounded again, and it found at 15 fathoms. It was getting closer. And then verse 29, "Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks." Man, we're getting close. Like, this is close. And it's been going on for ages, and it looks like it's just about to come to an absolute end. They wanted to flee the boat at midnight, but Paul exhorted them not to. And again, the day kept on. And look at this in verse 33. "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all and said, take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day, and you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore, I pray, take some meat. It's for your health." But verse 35, look at this. "When he had thus spoken, and he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all," 14 days at sea in an absolute rager of a storm, a boat falling apart, it looks like they're about to just come crashing into these rocks, and it's the end of them. Paul bows his head to give thanks for the food in which they're about to receive. You can just see the calmness of Paul, the patience of Paul, that enduring under that circumstance. And when they began to eat, look at this in verse 36, "Then were they all of good cheer, and they took some meat to eat." They finally believed Paul, because Paul believed God. And we're going to look later on into this, how God wants us to be an example before others of patience. Now, I labored a little bit too long in that area, but let's continue. Patience. One of the reasons why people lack patience is because they don't go to the source of patience. Like we heard on Friday night, how God is the source of our peace. And so you can't have true peace without the source of that peace. You have to go to the source in order to obtain that peace. And true peace comes as a fruit of going to that source. And it's the same thing with patience. In Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6, it says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see God is the God of patience. Like he's the God of love, like he's the God of peace, he is the God of patience. Patience comes from him. And so therefore he desires us, beloved, you want to be patient in every circumstance and have this control and this chi, no matter what's come your way, you have to go to the source of that patience, which is God. You can't have it without him. You can probably try to find rest and control in yourself, but that's only going to last so long. But when you're resting in the source of true patience, that is God, our Savior, then, beloved, that will endure. And then it can have its perfect work. A lot of people struggle perhaps in their circumstances to have patience because maybe you have not come to this God of peace. Perhaps this God of peace is not your God. Maybe you've never made this God your Savior, and therefore having access to come before this God to obtain this patience that comes from him. I exhort you today, you have an opportunity to come to that God of patience, that God of peace, the God of our salvation, the God of patience. Patience in James, as we read in the scriptures, tells us that patience indicates to us is born through trials. It's born through testings. Luke 21, verse 16 to 19, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your souls." Romans chapter 5, from verses 1 to 5, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory," look at this, "in tribulations also." Why? "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." They all must come and they all will follow if you give it their perfect work, if you let it have its perfect work. In verse 5, "And hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 8, "We are troubled on every side," listen to Paul's testimony, "yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, so we believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, and the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now look at this. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What's the source of their patience? Not only God, the God of patience, but also that hope that is to come. Their focus was on eternal life, and so therefore anything that came their way was but a light affliction. And anything that came their way, trial, testing, whatever, they counted it joy. They rejoiced. Why? Because they knew that there was a purpose in it. God was working this characteristic and attribute in their hearts. And beloved, that's what God wants to do in our hearts. When a situation comes your way that you did not expect, and many of us perhaps are there right now, many of us no doubt have been there countless times before where you think, I didn't expect that, where did that come from, what's going to happen now, and so on and so forth. Those thoughts come and those situations come, but rather than our response being fretting, let it be, Lord, what would you have me to learn from this? Let patience have her perfect work with you, beloved. Patience. It's but a light affliction. Patience is born through trials and testings. Don't shun those trials and testings. Don't despise them when they come your way. Don't just try and seek how you can get out of it. What does God want you to learn from it? Because you know what He's teaching you? Patience. Have you ever prayed for patience? I don't know if you... I was a babe in Christ. And I remember, man, I was just so hasty in spirit. And so, Lord, I'd pray for patience. Father, help me. Please be patient. And I kid you not, it was trial after testing. And it was never ending. It was never ending. There was one thing after the other, after the other, after the other. Oh, Lord, please help me to be patient. You know, and that was my cry until I came across Romans chapter 5. And the trying of your faith worketh patience. Oh, that's why there's all these trials and testings. I've been praying for it indirectly. Beloved, if you've been praying for patience and trials and testings have been coming your way, hey, rejoice. God is answering prayer. And so therefore, let your focus be, Lord, what would you have me to learn in this time? In this time. It's just a light affliction, beloved. It's just a light affliction. We see also in the scriptures that patience manifests true love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verses 4 to 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, look at this, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hope all things. Notice this, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. No matter what the situation may be, beloved, when you are exercising that patience that God is working in your heart, that manifests, especially if it's towards people or a person, it manifests true love, because you're not moved by whatever the situation is. You're not perhaps moved by the words or the hurt or whatever the case is, but because you truly love that person, you're not easily provoked. You're going to bear that and you're going to endure that in true love. Patience manifests true love. Patience, the scripture also shows us, is a mark of a Christian and necessary for unity. Necessary for unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. You're going to see all these things always coming together. Joy, love, hope, so forth. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Notice this, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. You see how these things are always connected. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. Titus chapter 2 verse 1 and 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Did you know conduct was a part of sound doctrine? Your conduct and behavior is part of sound doctrine. But look at verse 2, that the aged men, young or old, this applies, Christian, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Patience is a mark of a Christian and necessary for unity. Patience is essential, beloved. If we lose patience with one another, forget about it. Because we understand, although we're saved by grace, yet sin still abides in this mortal body, does it not? And if we are not mindful of that, if we are not mindful of the fact that we are all a working progress, and if we are not mindful to make our expectation to be of God alone, like the psalmist said, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for mine expectation is from Him. And so when you leave one another with the Lord, yes, exhorting one another, rebuking one another, encouraging one another, and so on and so forth, but when you leave it with the Lord, then your expectation will be of Him, not of you. You'll be forbearing, you'll be forgiving, you'll be long-suffering, you'll be enduring. And so therefore, not only would you manifest this characteristic that God wants in every Christian, this matter of patience, but we will see also this matter of unity in our midst. Patience is not only an attribute of a mark of a Christian and necessary for unity, but patience is specifically an attribute of the minister of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry may not be blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. 1 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given a hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Isn't it sad when brethren fall into that snare? 2 Timothy chapter 4 from verses 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and that's about where the majority of the preachers stay. And then they'll skip the next port and get straight to doctrine, but they forget the long suffering. For the time will come, minister of God, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll no longer put up with it. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teaching, having itching ears, and they shall burn away their ears from the truth. Their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Minister of God, patience is a mark of the minister of God. It's a mark of the minister of God. Not hasty in spirit, not quick to fight back, not insecure, gentle, meek. When the preaching is preached, when the instruction is given, when the counsel is given, when the prayers are laid out, when the constant reminders are you just labored on them and exhorting the people to just get on board and walk with God and all of these things, do it with all long suffering. All long suffering. Hey, it takes time. It takes time, minister of God. It takes time. I'm speaking to those who perhaps one day will be ministers. Don't forget, one of the marks of a minister of God is patience. You're going to face all manner of things coming your way, minister. You are. If God has called you to the ministry, I'll be sure whether you're in the ministry in a certain position in terms of preaching or pastoring or whatever the case may be. Every Christian faces trials, but be sure when you're the one getting up here and opening up your mouth for the Lord, when you become the mouthpiece of God, not don't be a mouse, a mouthpiece of God, then be sure you're going to be attacked. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be challenged. Challenges are good, by the way, but you're going to be challenged in such a way where they've already made up their mind. You're going to be falsely accused. There are going to be wolves coming in to seek to devour the flock, divide the flock. There are going to be people in the midst sowing discord, whether you like it or not. But don't be insecure. Be patient. Amen. Be long-suffering. Isn't God able to deal with them? Isn't God able to minister to their hearts, especially if they belong to Him? Isn't God able, let me say this, to remove them if they will not repent? Isn't God able to do that? Don't be moved. Don't fall for the false accusations. Paraphrasing, I can't remember who it was that said it. Charlie quoted it once in the preaching. If an accusation comes your way and it's true, correct it. But if it's not true, forget it and just keep on. Don't chase every accusation that comes your way, because that's going to become your ministry and you're going to lose sight of what God has called you to do. Minister of God, be patient. Preach the word, absolutely, in season, out of season, whether they want to hear it or not. But with all long suffering, with all long suffering and doctrine, never compromise the truth. Never water it down. Never water it down. Never tickle their ears. Preach what the Lord will bid thee to preach, and let it be the word of truth always. Patience, we see, we must have in spiritual growth. I don't know if you're anything like me as a babe in Christ, but then you'd look at the pastor, you'd look at these other brothers or sisters in Christ, and you think, whoa, how do you know that from the scriptures? You're just talking about something and you know that they're quoting scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and the very things that you're struggling with, they're talking about it as if like it's nothing, and you're like you just want to be there. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I thought when I'd hear some men of God preach the word and I'd see their life lived out before me, I'd think, oh man, I was an absolute worm. I am so wicked. I'm so far from God. And that was partly true, by the way, with where I was. But I wasn't insecure. I wasn't insecure and competitive with these men. Hey, these men encouraged me and showed me I've got a long way to go. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. But that on the good ground, the one that got the good ground, the seed fell on good ground, are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Hey, it takes time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That's our responsibility. Let's think of anything that weighs aside. By the way, even if it's food, that's something that's happening with me. Whatever it is that will set you aside, and the sin which doth so easily beset you, that iniquity that you regard in your heart, that darling sin of yours, lay it aside, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we do that though? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You want to see a demonstration of patience? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. The Lord had a purpose in being here, and he knew why he was here. And like we mentioned earlier about Paul keeping his eyes on the prize, if you will, focused on eternity and counted all things but a light affliction, although experienced many harmful and hurtful and other things, well, the Lord Jesus Christ endured something he didn't deserve, and it was for you and I. But why did he endure that? He despised the shame. He didn't rejoice in the shame. There's no rejoicing in that. We don't rejoice in the pain and the agony and so forth, no. But he found joy in that which was set before him, that many would one day trust on him, that him going to that cross 2,000 years ago would bring many sons to glory. He knew that enduring that agony, enduring that persecution, the false accusations, enduring what he endured for the joy that was set before him. The only hope of man, beloved, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for that joy that was set before him, that sinners would come to repentance, that sinners would one day have this new song in their mouth and an eternal hope in their heart, that joy that was set before him, he endured it. He endured it. And so, Christian, with patience, be patient. Babe in Christ, be patient. I'm not talking about be complacent and just, okay, this is where I'm at. No. We're growing. We're looking unto Jesus. We're setting aside weights and sins that beset us as we run the race, but with patience. And with patience, you will bear fruit. In the Lord. We also see patience reaps the blessings of God. Hebrews chapter 6, we're not going to talk about your assignment. By the way, have patience when you talk about the details concerning Hebrews chapter 6. But Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, praise God for that, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patience will reap the blessings of God, beloved. In due time, you will see what God has promised come to pass. You just wait and see. Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? Then you just wait and see. Although we see that patience will obtain these promises of God, and the example given was an unconditional one that God gave to Abraham, that he is going to multiply his seed, and sure enough, he did. We see in Scripture that fulfilled to the T. But he says that when he patiently endured, obtained the promises. But one thing I want to bring to our attention, beloved, although there are these unconditional promises of God, for example, salvation begins with a condition. Let me finish. The condition is this, that you would repent and trust Christ as your Savior. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's not him plus anything else. It's not him plus any other teaching or any other writing or any other good work, which includes baptism and any other good thing that you can think of. It's Christ and Christ alone, in which you're leaning upon, that can save your soul from your sins. That's the condition. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you will enter into an unconditional covenant where the Bible says you shall never perish. Never perish. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Ephesians chapter 4, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You have that seal of God in you. You've entered into an unconditional promises, and therefore it's bound unconditionally. God saves you and God will keep you until that day. But although God has revealed some things to you that he desires For you to have, there are things that you can do that can ruin that. Did you know that? Did you know you can miss out on the will of God? Even concerning the matter of salvation, is it not the will of God that all men would be saved? Is it not the will of God that he doesn't want anyone to perish? Isn't that the will of God? But they're missing out. The children of Israel, when they were told to take the land of Canaan, but their fear was put in their heart concerning the report of those 10 spies, that evil report, the Bible says. It was contrary to faith. It was contrary to what God had told them to do, and therefore it was evil. And they chose in unbelief to follow that evil report. They didn't obey God. They didn't go in and possess the land. So what was the consequence? 40 years in the wilderness. And everyone that was above 20 years old died and did not enter in to that promised land. They missed out because of disobedience and unbelief. You can miss out on what God wills for your life. Don't be like Moses. Moses, the Bible tells us, was the meekest man on earth. The meekest man. Talk about patience. The meekest man on earth. And one time, he lost his temper. This was after he had gone in the 40 years and come back. One time he had lost his temper. God told him to speak to the rock and water will come out. And then he comes before the people and tells them that God is going to give them water. And then you can just see the anger in his heart when he's referring to them as "you rebels." You know, and included himself, like, you know, "shall we go fetch this water for you?" You can almost hear the tone of his voice. And then instead of speaking to the rock, the Bible tells us he smote it. God was still faithful to his promise, by the way. Did water still come out of the rock? Water still came out of the rock. Why? Because God said he was going to give water to the people. But Moses disobeyed, and therefore, what was his judgment? Moses, you can't take the people into the promised land. You're not going to take them in. And even though Moses besought the Lord again, if he'd permit, the Lord said no. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. Doesn't matter if you're the meekest man on earth. If you disobey the Lord, that was the issue with Moses, by the way. Again, where do you lose this patience? Because of unbelief and disobedience. Moses disobeyed. Moses missed out. Was that the will of God for him? No, it wasn't. Don't be like Saul in 1 Samuel 13, where he was supposed to wait for Samuel to come and make the sacrifice. Samuel told him, "You go and wait for me 7 days and I'll come and do this sacrifice." And so do you know what Saul did? He waited until the seventh day. The seventh day. He was the first king. God was blessing him. His reign was prosperous. And then it comes to this matter where Samuel told him, "Go, and in 7 days I'll come, I'll be there to make this sacrifice." Wait, and the Philistines and others were in camping round about, and they were getting ready to attack. And Saul, come into that seventh day, and he's looking at this army, and where's Samuel? The day has come, where is he? So do you know what he did? "Hey, get me the offerings." And he offered them up himself. And then guess who showed up like he said he would? Samuel. "Hey, Saul, what are you doing?" He told him, "What have you done? What have you done?" And then he tried to put it back about, "Oh, you said you'll come in 7 days and oh, hang on a minute, what day is it?" He didn't say that, but "What day is it, Saul? What day is it, Saul? What happened?" He lost patience. He was waiting. He was trusting. He wasn't moved. On the seventh day, he lost sight of the word that Samuel had promised that he was coming. He was too busy looking at the situation, the circumstance, lost the patience, acted hastily, and that day was when the kingdom, not instantly, but in essence, was stripped from Saul's hands. You can miss out on the will of God. Why? Because you're not exercising this patience, this hope, this resting, this enduring, this long suffering, believing God. Don't miss out. Don't act in haste. Don't act before the time. Wait. Be patient, lest you should miss out on the will of God. Be patient. Patience is the testimony and example God wants us to leave. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention for you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and, in the sight of God and our Father, again, the source of their patience. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, the testimony again, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 18, servants, be subject unto your masters with all fear, not only to be good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when we be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? Yeah, you deserve it. If you've asked for it, you deserve it if it comes. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. That's the testimony God wants us to have. Continuing there, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin? What did Christ do? Yet we know what he endured. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He never spoke any ill or evil. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. It wasn't tit for tat with the Lord. When he suffered, he threatened not. He wasn't insecure. And he could have exercised the authority he had. See you later, like Uzzah. But he didn't. He endured, he suffered, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Beloved, when injustice comes your way, false accusations, and many other things, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Commit it to him. Consider our example. Commit it to him. The judge of all the earth will do right, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We see the church in Thessalonica was exhorted for their example of patience. The church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, even the Lord, though he had something against them, he exhorted them for their work of patience, for this matter of patience. The church even in Thyatira was commended for their patience. You see, look in Revelation chapter 14, you should be up there on the screen. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. James chapter 5 verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Don't we see that? We count them happy which endure. Those who have faced hardships and trials and testings, when we read of them in Scripture, and you see that they didn't forsake the Lord, they maintained that patience, they endured. Don't we rejoice and say, wow? And I'll be sure, and we could see from the Scripture, they rejoice too, that they were happy that they endured. And then it gives us even examples. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy. God pities us, did you know that? He knows our form, and he deals with us tenderly. He knows our make. He knows how to deal with us. But there was an example given concerning the patience of Job. I think the majority of people here understand and know the story of Job, don't we? And everything that came Job's way, everything that came Job's way. Now, let's consider this. From Job chapter 1, from verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. Before this, Job had made an offering and a sacrifice in case that his children had sinned against the Lord. He was that kind of man that feared God and eschewed evil. He was an upright man. And God rejoiced even in his testimony, used him as an example. But from verse 14, now imagine this. Put yourself in Job's shoes. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them, and the sarbeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped to tell thee. So imagine this person come to Job and he's telling him this. And now look at this. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I am only escaped to tell thee. Verse 17. And while he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the swords, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons, and look at this, and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Imagine that. While he was speaking, imagine one after the other. And have you ever been in that situation when something comes your way and you're like, oh man, and then something comes your way and you're trying to get a grip of what you're hearing just then and dealing with then, and then something else just arrives out of nowhere, and then something else on top of all of that, and you're what was the example concerning the patience of Job? Verse 20, then Job arose, rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. That's the example that the church, the Epistle of James is written to. Consider the patience of Job. What did he commit? It was a testing. It was a trial. Why? That this matter of patience would be worked in his heart. Patience is the testimony that God wants us to have. Patience, I can't continue with all the scriptures. We see in scripture, patience endures to the end. It endures to the end. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you know God will not be mocked? God will not be mocked. What you sow, don't forget God can see, and you will reap. Beloved, have you been sowing patiently? Have you been sowing patiently? Going out there and just sowing patiently, telling folk about the Lord? Have you been just waiting patiently on the Lord in certain different things? Have you, whatsoever you sow, you will reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. Let me say it again. We shall reap. It's coming. If we faint not. What a shame to lose your rewards. What a shame to endure for a time, then only to be counted as a castaway. What a shame that you've been just persevering and taking the hardship, and then one day you just give it all up. What a shame. Beloved, let me encourage you, especially if you're going through it now. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of it. In due season you shall reap. Hey, if we faint not. Many other examples there that I can't refer to for the sake of time. But we see not only patience endures to the end, but patience endures until the Lord comes. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8 from verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience Wait for it. But the Lord, 2 Thessalonians 3, is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from all evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts in the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And the epistle of James, from verse 7, be patient therefore, brethren. This is the concluding chapter of James. Unto the coming of the Lord. Hey, he's coming soon. Endure. Stay on board. Keep with the word. Don't compromise. Don't water down. Don't waver. He's coming soon. Keep your eyes on him. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive early the latter rain. The Lord is tarrying in his coming. Why? He knows there's more to come. He knows there's more that are coming to enter into the kingdom. And that's why he tarries. And beloved, let's tarry with him. Be patient. He is coming. But look also what it says. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Lest ye be guilty, in other words. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Man, he's there. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender in mercy. Beloved, be patient. Be patient. He's coming soon. And we know that when he comes, oh, that we could one day sing. Isn't that our hope, that we would sing? It will be worth it all.
Amen.
When we think about it, even from now, won't it be worth it all?
Yeah.
This light affliction, won't it be worth it all? These hardships and trials and accusations, won't it be worth it all? All these things we've counted loss and done for the sake of Christ and the gospel, won't it be worth it all in that day? Enduring hardships and false accusations and so forth and all these things, won't it be worth it all in that day? Having given all for Christ, won't it be worth it all in that day? Having included your whole family in the gospel and the ministry of the Lord, won't it be worth it all in that day? Laying up your wife, your children, your son, your daughters, your husband to the Lord, won't it be worth it all in that day, giving him all? Won't it be worth it all in that day, giving him that time? It will be worth it all, beloved. It's going to be worth it all. You shall reap in due season if you faint not. Beloved, let patience have her perfect word. You may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Be patient. Be patient in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.